This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Bernardin of Siena has another title besides that of saint. He is known also as the Apostle of the Holy Name of our Savior. As a youth, Bernardin was quite a boyish boy, welcoming all the games of the neighborhood boys about his home. There were no unusual marks to indicate his future, except perhaps one. He had a great respect for the sacred name of Jesus. Once when he heard a man curse, he tried to strike that man in the face, but was not tall enough to reach him. One day while at prayer before the crucifix, it seemed to Bernardin that the nakedness of his Savior on the cross, bereft of friends, possessions, clothes, even a grave, reproached him. Bernardin resolved to give up all that he owned and devote himself as a Franciscan to the service of the needy. Here is his story.
Man, he humbled himself.
On an evening at the beginning of the 15th century, in the village of Dasa near Siena,
therefore also
the young man sits reading to a very old woman,
and has bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth. What is it, dear aunt? Do you feel very ill again?
Not so hard to breathe.
Let me lift you a little on the pillow.
I'm too heavy.
Oh, you always think you're too heavy for me to lift. You find I can do it quite easily. There. Is that better?
Oh, Bernardine. Yes.
What are you trying to say, dear?
Such a good boy. So kind.
Why shouldn't I be kind to you? You've given me a home ever since I was a baby. You've always been so kind. Why, Bartholomew? Why do you look like that? Speak to me. Dear aunt, please speak to me. She isn't breathing anymore. I can't feel her heart beating. But then, this is death. I've never seen a dead person before. Oh, I'm afraid. What was that? It was only the wind rattling that loose shutter. I'm afraid. I can't even pray. I sit here reading to her. The next moment, there's only the senseless, motionless body at which I'm afraid. Nay, I will remember the words I just now read. At the name of Jesus, all the forces of the supernatural world must bend the knee. I will call upon that name. Jesus.
Jesus the Christ. Jesus, Son of God. By the power of your holy name, I command all evil things that trouble me to be gone, and all good to come to my aid. Why?
I am no longer afraid. Though it is night, light seems to have come into my soul. How foolish of me to be afraid. I will kneel and pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Bernardin was a member of the Confraternity of Our Lady, attached to the Great Hospital of Santa Maria, and it was shortly after his sad bereavement that the confraternity held its regular meeting.
I was in Siena yesterday, and I heard something there that alarms me.
What is it?
Well, there's a rumor there that the plague has broken out in Rome and spread to other places.
The plague!
Traveler brought the word. No one seems to know who he was or what became of him. He said all over the country people were becoming frightened and fleeing from their homes to avoid danger. Now, if it comes here...
If it comes here... There will be work for the confraternity.
Work? Yes, work for the confraternity? Bernardin, are you beside yourself? We would take the disease and die.
At least we would die doing our duty. If the plague does come, there'll be real need of us.
Well, but don't count on me. It's the most terrible of all diseases. At the first report of its coming anywhere near here, I and my family flee to safety.
Yes, and I don't think I'd have the courage to nurse a case of plague. Nor would Bernardin himself.
No one knows what he will do. When the real test of his courage comes.
Here's Antonio.
Oh, yes, now, here you are at last, Antonio. Now we can call this meeting to order. What? Man, what's the matter? Your fight is a shoot.
The plague. It's reached Siena. A traveler came from Rome yesterday, and this morning they found his body in the field with the mark of the plague upon it.
The plague?
Already there are two more cases. Father's mother came an hour ago to warn us to leave town at once. We're all packed and ready. I only came to tell the rest of you to flee.
There can be no meeting. I must go at once to warn my family.
We've got to survive, friends.
To leave.
Wait. Someone must be remained to bury the dead and care for the living.
Wait. Will none of you go to Siena with me and do this work?
Are we sure to die if we go near those afflicted?
Yes. It will be as God wills. But someone must go near them.
Well, if you go... So will I.
And I.
How many will go with me?
I will.
Good. First, we must go to our homes and bid farewell to our families. Then let us meet here in an hour's time.
Right, we shall leave here in an hour's time.
I told them I would meet them in an hour's time. I spoke to them as if I had no fear. Never in my life have I been so afraid. I can't go to Siena. It's folly. Sensible people run away from the plague, not into it. What was I thinking of when I urged the others to go? By this time tomorrow, we shall all probably be dead. Suppose, instead of returning to meet them, I follow the road that leads to safety. There is safety anywhere. Suppose I ran away. Thousand demons of fear are urging me to. Oh, but there is a name that I know conquers fear. A name at the sound of which even demons must bend the knee in unwilling homage. Jesus, healer and friend of the sick. Jesus, strength of the weak. Jesus, victor over death itself, help me.
Oh, I am afraid no longer. I shall go.
By the end of 4 months, the fury of the plague had abated. But many of those in Bernardin's confraternity had contracted the disease and died.
Bernardin himself had been desperately ill, but made an almost miraculous recovery. Then he returned to the house his aunt had left him, and for some years life went on as it had before. Then Bernardin went to Siena to stay there with a friend. And one day...
Bernardin, do you mean to say you're going to give up all the little estate your aunt left you? Going to give everything you own to the poor?
Every lira.
But why? You deserve some payment for those years you spent caring for her. All your youth was spent in nursing her. Most men would complain because the payment was so small. Instead of complaining, you reduce it to nothing. What made you decide to do it?
It was when I was meditating on our Lord's utter poverty all his life. I thought how, for us, he made himself so poor that even in death he had not a garment to cover him. And suddenly I knew that I wished to share his poverty here on earth, as I hope someday to share his wealth in heaven.
Well, a generous impulse, of course, but I beg you, think carefully of what you're about to do.
I have thought about it carefully. I'm going to dispose of all my possessions and join the Franciscan friars and follow Christ's poverty as their founder did.
When Bernardin was 29, he was clothed with the habit of the Franciscan order. Then, as the friars of those days were accustomed to do, he went about the country preaching, traveling from town to town on foot, often sleeping in the open under the stars, eating the food that was given him by the charitable. And one day...
Brother, may I speak with you a moment?
Of course.
You may not remember my face, but I heard you preach again and again. Once in Florence, once in Milan, once in Siena, and just now here.
Your work takes you about the country, then?
It has. It will do so no more.
Indeed?
It is of this I want to speak. Ever since I was a mere boy, I had a gift. You would not approve of it.
A gift I would not approve?
A gift for manipulating a deck of cards. I've been a gambler. A dishonest gambler.
You say you have been?
Yes. The first time I listened to you preach, I came to scoff.
But why?
But you've caused me much annoyance. Whenever you'd reached a town before me, I came to that town to find its people had made bonfires in the streets. And into them tossed all their frivolous articles, including their playing cards. My very living depended upon those playing cards or others like them. But you had given people such a distaste for games of chance, it was next to impossible to find anyone to play with me. Now, you see why I hated you?
Yes, I see.
Another thing you had done was to condemn the loaning of money at high interest. Many a time, the men I'd played cards with had borrowed the money I'd won from them. Oh, your preaching and my business could not get on together, any way you looked at it.
I understand.
So that day when I reached Florence and saw a great crowd gathered in the square, I joined them and heard you preach. And then went away, deeply troubled. Then I reached Milan and I found myself going to listen to your sermon again.
I remember the day I preached in Milan, but not what I said.
You preached about peace. You condemned the two great political parties because they encouraged hatred for each other, and at least among their followers, and this often led to rioting and killing. I approved of that sermon, even though you also condemned gambling. Well, so it went. Till last night.
And what happened last night?
Last night you spoke of peace again. And I thought how in my own heart I'd never known peace. And how much I wanted to know it. When you had finished speaking, someone started a bonfire. And all at once, the cards in my pocket seemed as heavy as if they were made of iron. And almost before I knew what I was doing, I tossed them into the fire.
That was well.
Was it? There were cards I made myself, painting the figures on them with loving care. They were a work of art, those cards. Even more than that, they were my means of livelihood. What shall I do now?
In your place, I would seek the inward peace you long for by making a good confession and receiving absolution. Then I would start building a new, worthwhile life in place of the one that ended with the burning of the cards.
You say you have skill in painting.
You should have seen those cards. They were beautiful.
Then you shall make a banner for me that I can put up in marketplaces and city squares and fields, wherever I chance to be preaching. It's something I've long had in mind.
Well, what's the design to be?
All around, on the outside, rays of light. In the center, the letters I and H and S.
I, H, and S?
They are a symbol or monogram for the name of Jesus, as it would be written in Greek. Oh, I would like that symbol to be known and loved everywhere by every living man and woman. You will make the banner?
As beautifully as I can.
And now, when you prepare for your confession, think of that name. A name so powerful that all above and on and under the earth must bow before it. Courage will come to you as you think of it. You will know that you begin your brave new life not alone, but with our Lord Jesus himself as your helper and your friend. And I think you will find that he will open the way for you to make a living honestly through your gift for painting, instead of dishonestly through your skill with the cards. For you shall have been generous with him, and he is never outdone in generosity.
So beneath the banner painted by the penitent gambler, Bernardin preached. And often he spoke of devotion to the holy name that it symbolized. And the devotion spread. But there were also dissenting voices.
This new devotion is strange.
It will lead to heresy.
It will create a division of the church.
Perhaps the destruction of church and state alike.
Who knows where it will end?
Well, perhaps it's only another rightful way of paying homage to our Lord.
There's only one authority to decide whether it's false worship or true. Our Holy Father, the Pope. The question must be put to him.
And so a cardinal took up the matter with Pope Martin V.
And this friar preaches devotion to the name of Jesus, you say?
Yes, Your Holiness.
What Christian can object to that?
Why, it is new, Your Holiness.
Is it? Now, just a moment. Here's a copy of the New Testament. Now, wait until I find a certain passage. Oh, yes, here it is. St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, the second chapter and verse 7. Now, would you mind reading these words?
Certainly, Your Holiness. And appearing in the form of man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross.
Now, if you read on, you will see why I called it to your attention.
Therefore, God also has exalted him, and has bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend of those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth.
That is enough, my son. Now tell me, is reverence for the holy name of Jesus a new thing? A fad? Dangerous to the faith?
No, Your Holiness.
Then you will communicate to this Franciscan friar our blessing in his work of making the holy name loved and revered among all the people. Let no one oppose him further, for the authority of the church has spoken.
And now Bernardin's fame as a priest grew rapidly. Then, when he was much older, the people of Naples asked him to come and preach to them. And Bernardin could not bear to refuse the appeal. He was weak and could not walk, but the master he loved had ridden into Jerusalem on the lowliest of mounts, and on such a beast he too would attempt what he suspected would be his last missionary journey. So, riding an ass while a young friar walked beside him, the old priest set out for Naples. On the journey...
Are you very tired, Father Bernardin? Shall we rest here in the shade of the trees?
Rest? How can we rest when people are dying and the dead lie unburied in the streets of Siena? Oh, no, we must hurry.
I don't understand you, Father. We're not going to Siena. We're going to Naples.
Yes, of course. For a moment, my mind wandered. I was thinking of another journey to another city long ago. Oh, it's fever, I think. Now and then, my veins seem to carry liquid fire rather than blood.
Oh, you are ill, Father. Dismount and rest for a time.
I have a feeling if I rested, I should never be able to rise and go on again. No, rather let us hurry. Brother.
Yes, Father?
Don't mind if I speak strangely. My head feels as if it were sailing somewhere high above my body. I cannot always find it.
That's a little delirium caused by the fever. Oh, Father, you should not have come. I wish you would rest.
See that fork in the road. If I should turn to the right there, run away to safety, then perhaps I should live to be old. I must not turn. I must walk on to Siena. But then almost certainly I shall die of plague. This is the moment when I must choose for all the rest of my life. Jesus, healer and friend of the sick. Jesus, strength of the weak, help me.
It's the fever again. Poor Father Bernardin.
My mind dropped off again, brother. I am sorry.
I don't apologize, Father. I understand.
Tell me, that time so long ago when the plague came to Siena, I didn't run away, did I?
No, Father, you didn't. That was long before I was born, but I have heard the story.
It was only when I spoke the holy name and held the thought of it to my heart, I was able to conquer the demons of fear that beset me that night. Without it, I could never have entered the gates of that stricken city.
I heard that you entered those gates with a hymn on your lips and courage so high in your heart that it was reflected in your face. And all who saw you grew braver from your bravery.
If I had not gone that night, if I had run away, what would my life have been, I wonder? A shame thing, I suppose. Always shadowed by the thought that had I known my duty, I had failed to do it. Like the gambler. I have never known peace, he said.
Father, you're almost falling to the ground with weariness now. We're approaching Aquila. At the Franciscan monastery there, you must rest.
Well, what did you say, brother? Oh, yes, I must rest when we come to Aquila. Perhaps it is well. I will obey you.
Yes. When we meet one of the townspeople, I will send word that we're coming, so that the friars can have a bed ready to receive you.
Tell them that you are bringing one who must be carried to that bed and will never, by his own power, rise from it.
Oh, no, Father, no. Perhaps after a night's rest, you'll be better.
No. You will bring a dying man to the gate of the monastery. A happy pilgrim approaching the end of his journey.